that you contribute a little bit in the, to this program that is currently ongoing. The program about whether this generation will see all this blessedness, whether this generation will get to live to see all this belovedness, the tremendous glory of the Lord, the cloud of Yahweh coming all the way from heaven to visit this generation, and the commanding of heaven to open and heaven obeys. So, I mean, there has been so much that this generation has been exposed to in terms of all that you need to have faith. That's why I wanted also to get a chance to contribute into this discussion, because this generation has been blessed, with mega visitations, biblical visitations, and in the process you see the cripples are walking left and right. Almost every day there is a serious, really very, very serious miracle. Like today we had this very, very stunning miracle of a woman with a huge tumor. The abdomen was totally swollen. And I mean, if you looked at her and you did not know what she was suffering, you'd actually think that she is expectant. You think that she is carrying a baby. And so, I mean, this is such a time in the history of the church, such a powerful hour in the history of the church. And the Lord has displayed so much. The Lord has really spoken so much to this generation. He has been able to reach out to them. The Lord has come out openly to beckon the generation to come into the kingdom of heaven. And that's why, yes, the question that is being asked in this program today is very valid. That shall we see all this and then end up in hell? And we know the description of hell, at least in the past few days. The Lord Almighty has allowed His servants to delve deeper, to go deeper into expositioning the dreadfulness of hell, that hell is not a joke. And I wanted to use this same platform, therefore, to bring it to you that it is true. The question that asks, shall we see all this and then wind up in hell? Eternal torment, eternal judgment. That question is valid because the Lord has presented all that He needs to present in order to draw us to His kingdom. The Lord Almighty has presented to us everything that is needed for the soul to be saved into the kingdom of heaven. A case in time is the parable. You see the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, where it says there was a rich man, book of Luke chapter 16:19-31, it says there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with wounds, sores, and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores, his wounds. Then it says at that time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. And then it says the rich man also died. You see, one thing that comes out very clearly there is that all people must die. If you are not raptured before you die, all people die. It is appointed unto men to die. to once live and then die. There's an appointment with death. So he says the rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in great agony in this fire." I'm in great torment, great agony in this fire. Verse 25, Abraham replies, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted here and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you there's a great rift, a great permanent chasm that has been set in place, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." Then he answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham, but if someone comes from the dead and goes to them, they will repent." He said to them, "If they don't listen to the prophets, if they cannot listen to Moses and the prophets, if they cannot listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone from the dead rises, even if someone rises from the dead and goes to them." So this is very powerful, blessed people. The Lord is essentially saying that there is a big lie going on the earth here right now. There are people who are lying. They are coming out openly. And they are saying that, look, we don't believe in God. We are atheists. We don't care about Christ. We don't care about the Lord. We are atheists. That's a big fat lie. Why? Because now you see, when they get to hell, hell is full of believers. In this text here, you can see that everybody that is in hell is essentially a believer. Believe in Christ Jesus. Hell is a place where people pray. He was praying for mercy here. He's praying for grace. In hell, they all believe the gospel. That's why he says, "Please, if you can send Lazarus to go talk to my family, my five brothers, then they will believe the gospel, will save them. They will not end up here." So nobody should ever lie to you that when they are here, they don't believe. The Lord created every man with the capacity to recognize their Creator and to be able to respond to His call to salvation. So it's amazing that when they get to hell, they are all believers. They are all praying there for mercy and pity. And yet when they are here, they claim they don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in God. They say they are atheists. But now He says, "Father Abraham, have pity on me. Have grace on me." In other words, have mercy on me. So hell, it is true, hell is full of people who are busy praying and looking for mercy. But unfortunately for them, the time to seek mercy and grace has passed. And that's why in this program that I want to contribute to, into, what comes out very clearly is that the Lord has done His part. The Lord has presented sufficient evidence for this generation to enter the kingdom of glory. I have called the cloud of God the Father, the cloud that only appeared in the wilderness. And I have such a greater detail about what He did in the wilderness. and for him to come in your midst. God, you are saying that you are blessed people. You worship the God you know. Other people worship the God they don't know. But for you, Jehovah has descended. He has come to you. He has settled on the tent. He has crowned me on top of the tent where I was preaching. So you really worship the God you know. Other religions worship God they don't know. Because Yahweh has come in the thick dark cloud of his dreadful glory that led his special people to the promised land. I have so much detail, like I said, about that mission. And so here you see in the book of Luke that when people reach hell, then they start now praying for mercy. But why don't you pray here? Why don't you receive Christ here? Because the cripples are walking. The cloud of God has come. I have commanded heaven to open severally. The Lord has displayed my stripes openly in the public space. Nobody can say, oh, it was hidden, I couldn't see. So everyone has seen the goodness of God. The blind are seeing, cripples are walking, blind seeing, deaf hearing, mute speaking. And that's why the question that is the rider that is running in this program today is a relevant question. That shall this generation see all these wonders and miracles and then wind up in hell? But that would be such a tragedy. If you look at the book of Matthew, I'm reading Matthew chapter 7. It says the following. In Matthew chapter 7 verse 7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. That tells you very clearly that God never pushes people to hell. People push themselves to hell. It is you alone that can take yourself to hell. The Lord has opened a tremendous door of grace to enter the kingdom of glory, because he says here, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. God has opened up the door that you may enter the kingdom of glory. The Lord has done a tremendous job. He has sent Christ to the cross. Christ has died and earned you eternal life. So it is open to all people, all races, all age groups, all different groups, whether the millennials or what, it does not matter. Whether developed nation or not developing, it's open to all. So the Lord is simply saying that hell is your choice. If you go to hell, it's really out of your personal choice. God never pushes people to hell. That is what he's saying here. He never pushes anyone to hell. In the book of Luke chapter 19, same. In Luke 19, he says the following, verse 10. He says, Luke 19:10, he says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So he really came for you. If anybody ends up in hell, it's out of personal choice. He's saying that God has never forced anyone to go to hell. Going to hell is of your own making. It's your own choice. Because the Lord instead has opened eternal life to all and sundry, to the entire earth, to all humanity. He has opened to them the kingdom of heaven. All people can literally enter the kingdom of glory. And that's why this trend where the Bible says a lot of people have jumped past the broad way, the large way that leads to destruction and hell, and only a few are walking the narrow way, is totally uncalled for. It is totally uncalled for. Because the Lord has opened such a tremendous grace to all. And that's why the Lord is making it very clear today that hell, if you ever end up in hell, that is out of personal choice. Because the longing of the Lord is that you don't end up in hell. If you look at the book of Ezekiel, if you turn to Ezekiel and you look at verse 22, verse 33, for example, 33 and 11, look at what it says, verse 33, 11. Say to them, as surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather that they should turn from their ways, their evil ways, and live. Turn. Turn from your evil ways. Why should you die, people of Israel? In other words, why should you die, my people? Why should you die, my people? So again, the Lord has come out very clearly that with all this evidence you see today, the cripples are walking, the blind can see, the deaf can hear, the mute can speak. Cynthia Wanjiku is now in university, at the Kenyatta University. You are seeing the cloud of God. You are dancing in the rain. Heaven is being commanded to open. You are dancing in the rain. Neutron stars have collided. With all this, shall you really end up in hell? And that's why God never takes anybody to hell out of his longing. He says he does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked, the perishing of the wicked in hell. But he prefers that they repent and turn away from sin and live. Shall you see all these cripples walking, two cripples a day, sometimes one cripple per day, all the way to Australia? Shall you see all that and then end up in hell? If you look at the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'm reading 14 and 15, it says the following. It says, from verse 14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. He's saying Christ died for all. Why should you go to hell? Why should you end up in hell? If you look at the book of Titus chapter 2, the Lord comes up very clearly from verse 11. He says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. He teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly lusts and passions, and to live a self-controlled life that is upright and godly in this present age. Again, another moment, another occasion at which the Lord is saying, it is not his wish that anybody goes to hell, because he has unveiled the salvation of grace, the grace of God that has appeared to us, that offered salvation to all people. So why then would you go to hell? And that's why today, my submission today is that if anybody ends up in hell, it is out of personal choice. And yet we've seen in the book of Luke chapter 16 that when they reach hell, then they believe in the gospel. He says, Father Abraham, can you send somebody to tell my family to believe the gospel so they don't end up here? Now when you're in hell, you now believe the gospel. They are now believers of Christ. Hell is full of believers of Christ. And they're busy praying, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Have grace on me. And so it's a tremendous thing that they begin to pray from hell when you could pray from here and enter heaven. And never do you hear him ask, Father Abraham, remove me from here, because he knows that whatever enters in hell stays there. So it's a one-way traffic. It's a permanent judgment. Besides, he says there is a chasm, there is a separation. So you see them doing, regretting. Hell is a place where people regret. He's regretting, in other words, how come he squandered the hour for the gospel? When the gospel came to him, he did not listen. So he's saying, please tell my brothers to listen. I may not have listened, but tell them to listen. So in other words, hell is full of people. The entire hell, they're regretting why they did believe the gospel. And that's a little I wanted to contribute tonight in this program, with the overriding question: shall you see all these wonders, these cripples walking, and still end up in hell. Thank you for giving me a chance, Senior Pastor Kennedy, to contribute into your program. May the Lord bless you. The Messiah is coming. Thank you.